Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 25, November 8th, 2011. It's Youth Month on Ham Nation. Good evening, everybody. This is Bob Heil, K9EIG, and we're coming to you from the shadow of the Great Arch of downtown St. Louis, and this is a very special night. Not that any others are not either, but boy, tonight is great because it's beginning of Youth Month, as you know, and we have some fabulous people tonight coming to you from Dayton, Ohio. Yes, where the great Dayton Hamvention takes place. But we're really excited tonight. Gordo, this is going to be a really fabulous night. How are you doing in Costa Mesa?
We have survived the asteroid. We didn't see it go by, but we had connections to some of the receiving stations, and you could hear little bits of radar. So we're ready. We are ready for kids to take our place because they got to put up with this asteroid about 100 years from now.
That's right. It went over Mississippi last night, but George couldn't see it because he had too much smoke from his smoke and soda. Is that right, George? What are you doing?
Yeah, there must have been a little lead in it, too, because my soldering iron kept wanting to point upwards.
How you doing? You okay?
Yeah, doing fine, Bob. Good to see everybody tonight, and I think we're going to have a good show.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to it. I wanted to make sure that everybody knows this is a great month to watch all of the shows here on Ham Nation. And we've got a couple of things. I am so passionate about this hobby. You guys and gals watching this every week know this. I've been in this hobby since 1956, and it never ceases to amaze me. I was on the roof Sunday. Sarah said, you need to clean some of the leaves off. This is a leaf season in the Midwest. So I went up on the roof, and I did the leaves as I usually do. And I thought, while I'm there, I got a 40-meter wire antenna that hasn't been doing anything, so I took it down. I have a motorized tower. I brought it down to 20-foot, and I took that, and I remembered what Gordo taught all of us when Leo built an antenna. I took the theory there and made the old divide by in my iPhone, and I cut 25 and a half feet of wire each side, soldered it up, bingo. I think Alex has a picture of me doing this in the backyard. There we are. Put it on one of Radio Wave's balans. I always like to have balans so I don't have coax feeding any RF. I came back in here. I turned on the radio. Always nice, Gordo, to turn the radio off, isn't it, right, when you're doing stuff like this?
And actually hear signals, yes. I know that well.
And I worked somebody. The first guy I called, man, comes up. And who was it? It was a guy in Columbia.
Nice to see you again, Bob. You've got an excellent signal, and your signal, your antenna is performing quite well. You're 5'9 plus 5, so that dipole of yours is certainly very nicely made because it is generating a big, big signal, Bob. We've got a good path between States and Colombia this time on 17, but I can hear quite a few guys there in the background calling, and still so I could hear you right through the pylon, Bob.
Wow.
We're Canada's Zanzibar Echo. Yeah, QSL, Bob. Well, the station here is a K3, an Elecraft, a K3. Also running an Alpha amplifier at about 1,100 watts, which is the Alpha 8410, one of the most recent amps by Alpha, of the automatic type, but the manual type. And the antenna is an OptiBeam Yagi made in Germany, nine elements, two active elements here on 17 meters. And it's up on a tower at about 65 feet, Bob. So back to you, K9EIDH, K4 Canada, Zanzibar.
Oh, thank you very much, George. I appreciate that very much. And your signal from Columbia is just great. So we'll look forward to catching you down the log somewhere. And
here's the pile-up I had to break. Listen to this.
17. It really sounds great. HK4 is CZE. This is K9EID clear. Bye-bye for now.
73 is Bob, and pleased to see you, my friend. All the best. K9 Echo India Delta, HK4 Canada, Zanzibar Echo is now standing by for any call.
Can you believe that?
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. George, I even brought it in the house after I wound it and soldered it all so that the connectors were soldered. I just didn't twist them. So I was thinking about you when I was in here soldering my antennas Sunday. And
well, that's great. At least I passed along something to you.
That's right. Well, I just had such fun. And the reflected power was great. It's down to 1:1. And, you know, that's always not the big thing I look at because it if you have a little bit of standing waves, it's not all that bad. But, boy, this was right on the money, and I worked this guy from Columbia, and I'm thrilled to death. So I did that to let everybody know how easy this is, George. That's why I did it, is I wanted a 17-meter antenna, but it's really easy to put your antennas together, solder them up, and go from there, right?
Yeah, it doesn't really take anything very expensive, just a little wire and some connectors, and as you use there, a balun, I like to use those too. Yeah. But you don't have to have it.
No, you don't. But it's just one of those things. Well, I thought I'd share that with everybody. And I wanted to say also, Gordo, you got some letters and stuff there, but we want to get into later. But what do you know about all the testing they did at Cal Poly? Is that fabulous or what?
Wow. 99 or 98 passing the test. 114 took the test. That is a phenomenal pass rate. American Radio Relay League oversaw the examination process. They had, 14 examiners there from the ARRL. What a deal. Congratulations to all those brand new hams who got call letters just within hours after they passed their test. Great work.
This is wonderful. We got a press release that came in from Dave Malone, KC6WOT. And I'm just amazed at all of this that's going on. It's part of their class procedure at Cal Poly, the electrical engineering classes. So thanks to Dave for sending that all in, and congratulations to all those guys and gals. We hope some of you are watching Ham Nation, and we hope to work some of you on the air. I'm really excited for all of you because I know what it did for my life. I know what it did for my careers. No matter what I do, everything I learned was learned from building things in amateur radio. So there's some pictures of some of the kids. Just wonderful, wonderful stuff. And the class was well organized by the ARRL and in one of the great schools there in California. So really excited to have that happen. Hey, look at that. How you like that, Gordo? Is that a class?
They look awfully serious. Very serious.
We are not drawing Mickey Mouse pictures here, folks. We're taking a federal communications license test. That's great. You have anything that you need to bring in before we take off to Dayton, Gordo?
Let's see. For Dayton, Ohio, wow. I can't wait just to see the kids, so I'm going to turn it over to you, Bob, and let's learn from the kids what's going on in Dayton, Ohio.
Okay, well, we'll introduce Dave Calter, who we've known him for such a long time. Been going to the Hamvention since 1959, and Dave is one of the ringleaders there, and KB8 OCP, and then Don, N6JRL, and him. they got a little idea a few years ago, and we're going to let them tell you what they do with some of the wonderful youngsters that have amateur radio tickets. Dave, are you there? How about it from Dayton? There
they
are.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Gordo. Hi, everybody at Ham Nation. Introduce my compadre here, Don Devon, N6JRL. Yep, we're here. How copy? Over.
Fine. You're looking good. You're looking good. How about that? That's pretty cool, huh, Gordo?
That's great picture, great audio. Dave and Don, now, who have you got in the background? Good-looking kids, huh?
Oh, yeah. We've got some of our team members from a couple years. Here we have Arthur here, KD8NUB, Rachel. Your call, Rachel?
KD8FOB.
And Mitchell?
KD8JRS.
There you go. We've got these youngsters here tonight. We have quite a few.
How many were did you take? You do the, tell us a little bit about what every year you do this. You go down to Costa Rica, and you and Don, and I guess a lot of the parents. Tell us a little bit about that. Talk about that.
Well, here's what we did. Some years ago, we were down at a contest, CQ Worldwide Phone, and with our great friend Keiko Diaz, Tango India 5 Kilo Delta. And after the contest, we were enjoying some remembrances of ham radio of yesteryear and when we were kids, and we were talking about what it was like when we were kids. And I can't even remember who it was, said, man, wouldn't it have been great if some old ham would have said when we were kids, hey, kid, come with us and come be DX. And we all stopped and looked at each other, and we said, hey, we could do that. We could make that happen. We had no clue how to do it. But the dream was born, and this we're going on our third year, fellas, and we're really proud of all of these kids. You know, we have a selection criteria. You know, the kids don't have they can't have mic fright. So I'll let Don tell you a little bit more about it if he could.
Yeah, hi, Bob and Gordo, and it's nice to see you both here this evening. And these kids back here, they work really hard to help put this thing on. They have yard sales here in the Dayton area, and they work a booth at the Hamvention. And, in fact, Gordo pulled the winning ticket last year for the rig that we raffled off and made somebody very happy with the rig. And then they turned around and donated it back to the kids so the kids could keep it and use it on their DX Adventures. So we're really happy about that.
That's great. Yeah, we got a slide that number 9 is Gordo smiling as he draws the winning prize.
Yes.
And that's wonderful.
And how nice that the ham radio operator, after receiving this, then said, you know, let's give it back to the cause. So only ham radio could make that happen, huh, Bob?
That's great. That's great. Yeah. And we got some other slides while we're there, and you might want to talk through that. The first one is kind of my favorite. It shows a bunch of folks there, and you might want to talk about that, Don, and tell us a little bit about who all went down.
Okay, this was just this past year. This was in July of 2011. And we've got there, of course, starting over on the one side there, you can see Arthur that's sitting behind us. And then I think we have Steve next to him, and then Arthur's mother, Tink. And then we have Anna, W0ANT. And then I can't remember, that was Sam and his sister. What was her name? Grace. Sam and Grace. And then
Cameron.
And then, of course, there's Duncan, the tall one on the other end, the tall, slender fellow, good-looking fellow, is Duncan. That's KU0DM. And then the fathers and mothers are behind. And then right in the middle up there, right underneath the Heil sign, if you can see it, that's Keiko. That's our sponsor down there.
Yeah, what a great group. And you've been there 3 years in a row. Are we going to see number 4?
Well, actually, no, we're working on number 3 right now. We've been down there 2 years. This will be number 3 coming up in July of 2012. And we're working very hard on it right now. And we appreciate all the support and all the help we get from all of the ham community and manufacturers and clubs and organizations that help help us put this on and help us get the funds necessary to send these fine young people down there.
Yeah, well, all of these things are very important because the expeditions give us something to work with and so on. But the technology to do it continues to grow. The manufacturers look forward to using that as a test bed sometimes. I know we try to help all of the that we can with microphones and headsets because it's a volunteer thing and they're going to go out and buy thousands of dollars worth of equipment. Well, we can help them with that. That's really great. The second slide we had, I really enjoyed this. You can see how serious these people are, and you guys are helping them. Who all's in that slide, David?
Well, in that slide, of course, you see Don back there mentoring, looking over the shoulder of Rachel and Christina. And these two young ladies had a pileup going. And only one way to work a pileup, you got to be DX. And this is great seat time and microphone time. And they got a real good experience on how to work a pileup, guys. And, you know, they had the whole world at their fingertips. And what a joyous time that was for us to witness firsthand. But I want to tell you, these kids picked right up on it. They learned how to operate DX very quickly and how to handle a pileup. And the other thing we did on on Saturday morning, Friday evening, we gave them a chance to sit down, play with the radios, get an experience, and then Saturday morning, we had a little class and taught them a little fine points of DXing and how to handle a pileup, how to work numbers by the numbers, and some of you DXers out there may know what that is, and call areas like Japan or Europe only or North America standby. These kids picked right up on it. So immediately they got back on the air and they were able to apply their skills immediately. There's Duncan. And yep, he's in his element right there. Our great mentor, Duncan, there. He's about a 30-word-a-minute CW operator, and he led the team this year.
Wow.
Okay. So he worked pretty hard. And I know him and Rachel, they were in a little contest among themselves to see how many contacts they could make during the weekend. And
hand that microphone back to Rachel. I want to ask
I want her to tell you about this. Here's Rachel.
Yeah. Hi, Rachel. It's so nice to see you and hear you on the Ham Nation. Thanks for coming tonight. You had a little contest with Duncan?
Duncan... Me and Duncan, each night, we kind of stay up, and he was always doing the CW, and not too much. I'm fond with the voice, but on the last night, he decided to go to bed, and I actually decided to stay up that whole, basically as long as I could, until I could finally beat him in the contact count, which was kind of really sweet.
Did you?
Yes, and it was only by two contacts, so it wasn't. It was really, really sweet in that aspect.
Doesn't make any difference. Winning is winning. That's great. Well, we're going to get Duncan on here one of these days, and we're going to have to ask him about being overtaken by the great operator Rachel. That's wonderful. Mitchell, did you get into any of this contest thing within yourselves down there, or how did you enjoy it? And tell us a little bit about what you did.
It was a blast. The whole competition thing, we were sitting at one of the meals we had down there prepared for us, and we decided to make it a little bit more interesting. We were going to make a competition board, I guess you could call it, and written, I don't know if there's any pictures of that, but written on a whiteboard that was in the little shack area, we started keeping tallies of who had what contacts and how many banned countries we'd have. So we started a little competition between us, and that's kind of the incentive that we had to get the counts up. So we had a blast competing with each other, and there I am. It looks like maybe in the very beginning we got paired up and we were logging for one person and the other person was making contacts just so kind of we could get used to everything. And then soon thereafter, we decided that we kind of wanted to do it on our own. And after our teachers of Don and our parents that were down there in Kecko, we finally got to learn the ropes. And so we were doing both by ourselves. And it was, I mean, we had a blast down there.
That's wonderful. You did, the pictures show it. You guys were having so much fun. And I applaud everybody that put this together and your parents for standing by you. I'm going to come back and ask you some more questions about that. Arthur, how did you fare in all of this? Were you you able to compete with these guys and gals and come out winning a few things or at least making some big points, right?
Well, my group, the group that I went, wasn't there with Mitchell and Rachel. I was on the second year, but yeah, we didn't really have a competition. We just would operate casually. So I'd go in at different times and get a pile up going. That was pretty fun. And so by the end, I'd say I got maybe about 300 to 400 contacts. And I forget exactly how many countries, but I worked a lot of the Caribbean and South American stations.
It's such a rush when you let up on that key, just as you heard a while ago, and it's one of the reasons I played that clip. When you let up on that key and hear that incredible pileup, all of these stations, for anybody that is unfamiliar with what we're saying, pileup, it's where there's probably 50, maybe 100 stations all on the same frequency calling you. And you have to pick out the strongest one so you can hear them. And you got all this chatter behind you. That's quite a rush, isn't it, Arthur, when that happens?
Oh, yeah, it was really exciting. Like, that was the first time I'd ever experienced a pileup. And so I was a little overwhelmed at first. But then I got used to it, and so I was trying to listen to the hard-to-hear stations so they could get a chance. And it was really exciting. And I have a greater appreciation for when I'm on the calling side of the pileup because it's really hard.
That's great. Well, I want you to hand the microphone to Rachel. And I want each of you to tell all of the listeners here on Ham Nation how you got into ham radio and how you enjoy it, why you got into it. You know, a lot of kids today, well, I got this iPad and I have this iPhone and I don't care about all that. But I'm sure that all of you do that too. But you took on this wonderful hobby of ham radio, and we would all like to hear some of your reasons and some of the good points that's happened since you have become licensed. Rachel, let's hear your side of it.
Well, when I was in middle school, one of the family friends had been in it and thought, since I was in the science and technology, that I would also be interested in it. So they just took me up to the Dara Clubhouse and said, here's a class, sit down, read the book, you know, start learning about it. And so as I started learning about it, getting into the technology was a lot more interesting. So it kind of pushed me into it. So I actually started doing it, like not forcing myself to do it. I actually took enjoyment out of seeing all this. And I slowly found out about all the radios. And then I was able to get my license. And I was really excited about that. And I saw the HF. So I was like, oh, let's try to upgrade. So then I worked on to my general. So then I found out more about the HF. And that kind of really interests me, just being able to go and talk to someone totally outside of our country, like something that I don't get to do on a daily basis, but I can do all the time with that.
And you do enjoy it. You have a nice station at home, and do you get on the air quite often?
At home, I stick more to like the handheld, but occasionally we'll go up to the their road site when they have an event up there and they'll have all the radios running. So then I can get onto the HF, which I like to call my kind of playground.
Yeah. And HF, that's high frequency. That's all of the places where we can talk around the world, so to speak. VHF is very high frequency. And we want to make sure that everybody understands all of that when we're talking about HF. That's where all the great bands are, 75 meters, 40 meters, 20 meters, and so on. Arthur, what is your take on amateur radio? How did you get here? You enjoy it? And tell us a little bit about your involvement with amateur radio.
Well, what kind of my first experience with it was I had a shortwave radio, and so I'd listen to that. And that always fascinated me how I could listen to the other countries. And then my mom encouraged me and my dad, and she also went and got a license with a local club. And so we did that, and then a few months later, we got our general license, and then my dad and I got the extra license in the next course. So that was all in about a year, so I kind of progressed fast with a license. But and so yeah, amateur radio is, I enjoy it a lot, especially DXing. I usually operate maybe about at least once a week, and I try to increase my country count. I got 71 countries right now. And so I've been enjoying that, especially on the CQWW contest the past weekend. I got about 15 new countries, and I was able to work a de-expedition in Africa.
Well, that's pretty super. So your whole family is licensed, and you probably all fight to see who gets the radio. And when your mom's at home during the day, you come home to a hot transmitter and a cold stove, right? Something like that.
That's not quite like that. We just take turns on the radio. Usually I just, when I, after school, I go out there and connect up the antenna. And so I usually operate on around the 14 megahertz, 20 meter band. And I always get the best luck with that one.
Yeah, you can talk a long way. Well, we're going to see what Mitchell has to say about getting into amateur radio. How much fun is it? Are you looking forward to going further in your studies with it? How does ham radio affect your life, Mitchell? We're so happy that you're part of this group, and I wondered how you enjoy amateur radio.
I grew up with amateur radio. My father and mother were both amateur radio operators. They're both licensed, and so I just kind of grew up with it and was always interested. And I learned that I didn't have to be 16 or whatever to like your driver's license. You can get your license at any age. And so November of 2008, I finally got my license. It was just kind of what to do in the household. And after I got into it, I realized how enjoyable it was. My dad has a great station at home, so I've always had the equipment, and it's really nice that I don't have to build that up. I just have it kind of at my fingertips. Whenever I want to use it, I can just go in there. So it's really nice that all of the equipment is already set out for me. All I have to do is go on the radio room and turn on the radio. I've not gotten a chance to upgrade yet with school and other things going on. I'm still a technician, and lately the 10-meter opening has been amazing. I'm able to not just talk to people in my area, but I have been able to work some DX on 10 meters. So that's been really nice. And it's also an incentive to upgrade so that I can do that all of the time. But it is an amazing hobby. I'm always thinking of ways to get more youngsters involved.
Well, we're so glad that you both, that all three of you have helped to bring a little bit more excitement to this hobby. And a lot of us look for you when you're down in Costa Rica and having fun there. So we look for you up here. I wanted to ask all three of you, and pass the mic around, we forgot one thing. Tell us what grade you're in and if you're going to college and what you intend to do with your college studies and so on. And so, Mitchell, where are you right now?
I'm a junior right now. And for plans of the future, I want to be an audio and light engineer. So I plan, hopefully, on going to Full Sail University. It's near Orlando, Florida, and hopefully becoming pretty successful. I'm actually more interested in the audio side and less of the lighting and well, I mean, it's all very interesting. So being able to use this awesome microphone is kind of cool. And anyway, which is...
For any of you that are not aware, Full Sail is an incredible full-scaled college in Winter Park, Florida, that takes people just like Mitchell that are just so passionate about what they do and turn them in to Grammy, Emmy, and just Oscar television engineers. They have just hundreds of students that you wouldn't have the movies you see, you wouldn't have the TV you see if it wasn't for Full Sail. It's an amazing school. I applaud you for going there. And ham radio is going to be a lot of help to you because they look at that background that, here's the guy that knows what to do with a few wires. So I applaud you for that. That's really great. And we'll have to talk off the air about that. Keep me posted on that. We go down there and do seminars every once in a while. So I'm very familiar with Full Sail. And let's see, Rachel, didn't you have didn't I see an Ohio sweatshirt on you when you came in a while ago? You had that sweatshirt. What happened there?
Well, it kind of got a little bit hot, but I'm a senior in high school right now, and I plan on going. I'm not 100% sure where to go to college, but I plan on doing civil engineering later on.
All right. All right. You might be able to build bridges, but you know what that'll do? You will be able, after you get your degree, you'll be able to design a 500-foot self-supporting tower that we can put in Gordo's backyard without guy work. Right?
Good for you, Rachel. You're on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
that would be quite a fun ordeal.
Yeah, there you go. Arthur, let's see what you got cooking and where you're headed with all of this and how ham radio is going to play a big part in your life.
Yeah, well, I'm a senior in high school, and for college, I plan on studying physics and computers. So I think those things both have a lot to do with ham radio, especially like the radio propagation. And then with computers, I can do some digital modes and stuff. And so those are my two favorite subjects in addition to ham radio.
Absolutely. Well, I applaud all of you. And George, we have some future solderers here that you'll be able to train very well with your smoke and solder, don't you think, George?
I think so, and I could even learn a few things from them.
Yeah, especially when Rachel gets that degree, going to build that 500-foot self-supporting tower. That's great. Well, I just can't tell you how much fun we've had, and so much goes to David and to Don for setting this up. We've been working all week with them, and I appreciate you guys doing this, and we'll probably have you come back real soon and see how things are going, and definitely when you go to Costa Rica next time, that'd be kind of fun that we can maybe hook up on Ham Nation from down there. Who knows? But we definitely will work you on 20 meters or 15 or maybe 10, one of those things. If we can break the pile up, that's the key. So, Gordo, have you got any remarks that we need to close out with the Dayton group?
Well, I just want to say, kids, let me tell you that ham radio will open up a lifetime of opportunities of employment. So as Bob said, and both the D's there, keep up the great work, and we'll see you in the marketplace soon.
That's great. That's great. What about you, George? You got any closing remarks? You've been in the broadcast industry for a long time, and don't you think these guys and gals are going to have a great future because of ham radio?
I think they will, and ham radio and broadcasting are very similar, and a lot of skills you learn in either trade will help each other. But I just encourage them to stay with it. I know when you get in college, you may not have quite as much time, but try to find time to get on the air every now and then and keep your enthusiasm in ham radio. We see people coming and going in and out of the hobby over the years, but, a lot of us have stuck with it. And, it's never too late to get back in if you've been inactive for a while.
That's correct. And they learn to fix things. I want to close with two slides. Number six is a slide where the girls had trouble with one of their headsets or something, so they were fixing it while they were on the air. Now, there you go with amateur radio at its best. And Alex, if you can bring that up, you'll see the gals fixing their headset. I just think this is great. They're able to do this stuff. Not working?
I have number seven, but not number six.
Oh, what about number five?
Number five. We need to have that.
Yeah. Check this out. The chat room is going to go nuts. I know this. David, tell us a little bit about Fabriana.
Well, Bob, that's Fabiana, KJ4QDD. She is Keiko's daughter. She lives down in Costa Rica, and she had just passed her license the year before when we went down to CQ Worldwide for the contest. We did some testing down here. We tested Fabi, and she was a youth team operator as well. And she's heck of a contester. Of course, she speaks Spanish and English very fluently. And she worked the Alpha 71. I got to tell you this story, guys, this, if you have a moment. She dug out an Alpha 71 Alpha Bravo out of the mud. It took her about 8 minutes. I think, Rachel, you were sitting there with her, too. Yeah, Rachel was sitting there with her. And I happened to run across that fellow at Hamvention. He came to Hamvention to Dayton, and I happened to have a card, and I handed this fellow the card, and he gave Fabi his card, and it was all beautiful gold leaf with a beautiful Arabian horse on it. And I just took it down to Fabi this past couple weeks ago. We just got back. So very exciting, you know, and when the kids can do that kind of stuff, and I'm sure you can see why we're so proud of these young folks here.
Well, Dave, I am personally proud of you and Don for putting all this together. I just can't tell you kids enough how thrilled I am for you to get into this hobby. It's been my life and my career, as I said, and I look forward to seeing you in Dayton when we're in there soon. And we want to have you back on and let us know more about what's going on. So 7-3 to all of you in Dayton, and you stay in touch. And when you listen in those pileups, there's going to be three guys. We'll be probably real weak, but look for Gordo and George and I. We'll be calling you. So we'll probably be a little off frequency too, but who, you know, just look for us. We're all a bunch of crazies, but we have
Oh,
thanks
great.
A lot.
Good see night you guys. To you. 7-3.
All right. 7-3. Great to see all of you.
See you in Dayton. Bye-bye.
That is absolutely wonderful. Just super. I only wish I would have had all of that guidance when I was their age, so we could have had a lot of contacts all over the world. They take those kids around. That's really super, really super. So we want to move on here with Ham Nation tonight. It's such an interesting night. We got a lot going on, as always. We're going to switch back to Long Beach, and we're going to pick up Robert Sudock. He's got some news on Newsline. So let's see what Newsline Report has tonight here on Ham Nation for us. Robert, let's see what you got.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1786, these are the Ham Nation headlines for November 8th, 2011. The ARRL has issued its first comments to the FCC's second report and order on broadband access over power lines. The League is disappointed with the FCC's ruling. They believe the commission missed the mark on concerns about levels of radiated emissions, which would cause interference. Tests by the ARRL and other organizations show the technology is noise-intensive. But the ARRL also praises the FCC for one statement in its findings, the conclusion that harmful interference must be corrected under any circumstances. Here is an update on ham radio assistance in Thailand, where severe flooding has already claimed hundreds of lives in less than 3 months. Floodwaters have closed in on Bangkok as the authorities struggle to divert as much water around the city as possible. But according to Tony Waltham, Hotel Sierra Zero Delta X-Ray, for many areas to the north of the capital, it is too late. Hundreds of communities are reported to be uninhabitable under more than 10 feet of water. Amateur Radio continues to play a part in this disaster, with operators helping to coordinate relief efforts and rescue work on VHF and on 40 meters. That operation is under the direction of Amateur Radio Society of Thailand and is expected to be continued for some time to come. And if you're a user of D-Star or planning to get a D-Star radio soon, then put aside November 11th, 12th, and 13th. That's when ICOM will host the 2011 D-Star Travel the World QSO Party on a D-Star repeater near you. For details, check out tinyurl.com/ d-star-qso-party. And for the complete amateur radio news wrap-up, we invite you to point your browsers to www.arnewsline.org. I'm Robert Sudock, WB6FDF in Long Beach, California, saying 7-3, and now back to Ham Nation.
All right. Thank you very much. Very much.
Great.
Got a little sidebar about that. George, do you know what kind of microphone he had tonight? Did you pay attention there?
Well, I wasn't looking that close, but no, I don't know what that was.
He has a great collection of old broadcast microphones, and the one he's using is one like this, a Rechier. This was one of the microphones built back in the 50s for television. You would have seen a lot of game shows that used this microphone, and it was made by the American Microphone Company, and Robert thought it would be fun if he would start using some of these old microphones. So we'll be seeing all kinds of different microphones from him. I have a nice collection of old mics, but I really love the old American. They built this and they built one other that was really beautiful. But, primarily, it was built for television, and you probably recognize it because you've seen a lot of them if you watch a lot of those game shows and award shows in the in the old days, a good old television. So Robert will be on with some stuff next week and see what we can do there. Hey, Gordo, have you got any little sidebars that you can throw in here for next week for our little quiz? Have you you got something lined up for that?
I do. And before I get to the audio quiz, Mike in Long Beach sent an email saying, what's the difference between a dual-band handheld as well as a two-band handheld? Well, a handheld that does two bands, Mike, is one that does either VHF or UHF one at a time, whereas a dual band could actually bring audio coming out of both bands at the same time. But the big question is, we have some new radios coming in from China that are called dual watch. And he says, is that dual band or is it two band? Well, we found out that dual watch means that in the scanning mode with no signal present, it'll scan both V and UHF. But once the scanner locks into a channel, it's that band and only that band. Frank K7PGP says, what a bummer that I only have a small portion of the 10-meter band as a technician class operator. And I know he's watching tonight. We see him in the chat room. Hey, Frank, 28.3 to 28.5, 200 kilohertz is as wide as extra class privileges for phone on the 20-meter band. So get on 10 meters, 28.3 to 28.5, and enjoy. You got plenty of elbow room. In fact, we hope to see many of the hams at the big HRO open house down in Atlanta. ICOM, Kenwood, Yaesu, Diamond, Comet, MFJ, Radio Waves, Santa Claus. Everyone's going to be there, and that is December 3rd, and old Gordo will be there representing Ham Nation. So hope to see you there. Tomorrow, remember, Federal Emergency Management Association says it's the big emergency alert test. Only a test. And the question is, maybe you know it in the chat room, will the National Weather Service put this out on weather radio as an alert? So we don't know. It's going to happen all over the country, and it'll happen tomorrow at 11 o'clock California time, 12 or 1 o'clock your time, Bob, and George, 1 or 2 o'clock your time, but the big test tomorrow. The question is, will the National Weather Service do it on the weather alert channels? Okay, couple more. Elmer's Corner, Bob, W-A-8-Y-C-D, says he's got a neat thing going called Elmer's Corner, where he brings multimeters, and he's going to actually draw a line with a pencil, a number two pencil, and have students calculate the ohmage resistance, which I think is pretty cool. All right, this weekend, Julian, he's right here. Wave, Julian. Thank you very much. Julian is going to be part of the D-Star QSO party, and I just heard that they've got some neat prizes for those that work the most countries if you should win that particular category. So I hope to hear all of you on D-Star. In fact, tonight, Joe WX4ADX says that we'll be up on Reflector 14 Module C. Tonight, we're also going to be on 40 meters and 20 meters if the band holds up. And Bob, finally, tonight we'll be on EchoLink. And what else are we going to be on? I think that's about it. We'll be on the chat.
We won't be on EchoLink tonight.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. George, where do they go to find us on EchoLink? Go ahead, George.
Well, that's what I was just saying. We won't be on EchoLink tonight. Tommy had to work this evening, so we won't have an EchoLink net this evening. But I'm going to be on the D-Star one for the first time.
Okay, well, that's great. Well, then, if you're on D-Star, we'll look forward to seeing you, and we sure hope to work as many of you on the D-Star contest. Well, it's more like a QSO party this coming weekend. So, Bob, that's the news as I have it, and now the question is, what mode is this CW mode? Take a listen carefully. The question is, why the raspy sound? So name that sound, what's happening to that CW mode, and see if you can figure it out for next week. Bob, back to you.
That's great. Yeah, I hope everybody gets to go to Atlanta and see you there. That's going to be fun, really fun. I get to go to three club meetings this week, Gordo. Going to be in Mississippi to do the club at Starkville. That's Martin Jew's home club. And then we're going to, the next night, I'm going to Peoria, Illinois, and going to do one there. And how am I able to do this? We're doing club meetings on Skype, and boy, you talk about fun. So all you guys and gals, if you got a club and you want to have some meetings, you let us know, because all three of us can, we won't show up at the same time, but we can each bring you some great programming to your clubs through Skype. It's really, really fun, and helping some of the clubs get a little more participation, because we need some programming. So talk about programming, man. We got it down in Mississippi. We're ready to go see what kind of smoke you got going tonight. Oh, my goodness. George, what's happening, and what's going to happen with the old soldering iron? Smoke and solder.
Well, tonight we're going to build one of these, and we're going to use another technique for making your own printed circuit board. So let's get on with that. This week on Ham Nation, we're going to build another PC board. But rather than use an ink-resist pen, we're going to graduate one step, and we'll use rub-on transfers. Now, these transfers I got came from Radio Shack at least 15 years ago. So I don't know what condition they're in and how well they're going to work. We're going to build a small audio amplifier using an LM386 chip. Now, these chips can be used for a lot of different circuits, but here's the circuit we're going to use. We'll begin by drawing the traces out on a piece of real old tracing paper. Now, here's the chip, the LM386. We've got a capacitor over here connected from pin 1 up to pin 8, and that's going to be 10 microfarads. We come on down, pin 2 is ground, so we'll run a ground bus for that at the bottom. And then on pin 3, we've got a 10K ohm pot, and then this will be the input to the amplifier right here. This is where our ground will connect for the input, and then we'll put a couple of pads out here for ground, one for our power supply, the other for our speaker lead. And then we have a 10 ohm resistor that goes to ground. And we also go over to pin 4. And then we put a 0.047 microfarad capacitor right here to pin 5. Now, pin 5 is our audio output. So we also have a 220 microfarad capacitor that goes right here. And then we run a trace on out and put a pad down for our other speaker connection. Now, pin 6 is unused, and pin 7 will be our positive voltage coming into the circuit. So why did I draw this on tracing paper?
Well, there's a very good reason. I like to lay out my circuit as viewed from the component side of the PC board. However, you've got a problem when it's actually put on the solder side. You'll end up with all your traces backwards of how they should really be. I had to solder the integrated circuits on the solder side of the board so that everything would line up correctly. This is an old board I made around 1984. And you can see that some of the traces didn't stick very well. And as a matter of fact, I tinned over all the traces that were in the circuit just so that I was sure that I had conductivity everywhere. Now, you can do a better job with these boards. Here's one I made around 1985, and this one doesn't look too bad. Although it's discolored and does not have the shine that it once did, it has not corroded and still looks to be in good shape. Now, I did make one mistake when I laid out this board, and you can see here that I had to cut some traces and put some jumper wires in to straighten things out. By using tracing paper, I can flip the page over and see exactly how the circuit should be laid out. Pin 1 is now on the right-hand side, and that's correct. I also made a little overlay so that we could see where the components would be positioned on this circuit, and we can see that the chip would go right here. Here's our 10 microfarad capacitor and our 220 microfarad, a 0.047, the 10 ohm resistor. Here's where our input connections will be, and there's the grounds. Here's the positive voltage in and the 10K ohm pot. I've already taken the first step and shined up the board real good with some Scotch-Brite and cleaned it off. But I noticed a little pit here in the board, and we want to make sure that we don't try to lay any of these rub-on traces over that. So I'm going to take a Sharpie and make a little mark on there just so we can avoid that spot. I've taken my layout and flipped it upside down so we're looking at it correctly. And now we'll rub on the 8 pins for the integrated circuit. There's our 8 pads. And if we look closely, we'll see that there's some hairline cracks in there. We'll want to take a Sharpie and touch these up a bit. Now let's rub on all the rest of the transfers to complete our circuit. We'll use some electrical tape to fatten up the ground trace. We'll take a Sharpie and make some important notes on the board now. And we'll use some more electrical tape to increase the ground plane because the less copper we have to eat off, the faster this will go. Now, I've never used electrical tape before, so we'll just have to see how that works. Here's our board, and you can see that there's some spots on there that obviously didn't take very well with the dry transfers. So we'll use a Sharpie now and touch those up a little bit. Now let's remove that mark we made earlier with the green Sharpie because we don't want to leave copper there. At last, it's time for the acid bath. So let's pour a little of our ferric chloride in here, and we're not going to watch the whole process. We'll just peek at it every now and then to see how it's going. Now, I'll let you in on one of my secrets here. To heat the acid and to agitate it somewhat, I'll use a heat gun so that I can get a little splash around in there and a little heat. But you'll have to check every so often to make sure that you're not getting it too hot. You sure wouldn't want to damage that plastic container. It's been about 10 minutes, so let's take a look, and we see that it's definitely starting to eat some of the copper away from the top of the board, but we've still got quite a ways to go. We're getting down to the final minutes now, and we can see that we've got some pretty good action going on here, and the last few minutes seem to have the most activity anyway. I'm not really sure how long it's been in there now, let's just say a while, but I believe we're done. Now we'll take the board and go rinse it under some cool, clean water for a while to neutralize the acid. Before we go, though, Let's take a look at the color of this acid before we start it and when we finished. Here's our burned board. Doesn't look bad right now, but let's remove this electrical tape and have a look under there, and we'll also remove the dry transfers so we can see how our traces fared. I polish it with a little Scotch-Brite, and if we look where the tape was, we can see where the two pieces join. Some of these traces are kind of thin looking as well. I think they'll make it. It's a little eaten around the edges in spots. But the worst place is up here where our trace didn't want to stick. If you remember, I had to fill in those spots with the Sharpie, and that doesn't look like it did so well. So I'll tin over some of these places with the soldering iron to be sure I've got conductivity. And now we're ready for a little fun, so let's hit it with the Dremel tool. At last, time for a little smoke and solder. So let's mount these components on the board. Let's mount the pot. Now that looks a little thin right there, so we're going to beef that up with a little solder. Let's mount our 10 microfarad capacitor, that's the last component. And let's solder that output trace that looks so bad. Let's test our amplifier. We've connected it to the Ham Nation power supply, and we're running 12 volts into the amp. We've also connected an audio oscillator into the input lead of the amp, and we've connected a little cheap computer speaker here. Now, I would have used the Ham Nation Dixie Cup speaker. However, it takes a little more power than this amp can put out. So let's turn up the volume now and see if we got anything. We'll change frequencies. We've got success with the Ham Nation one-chip audio amplifier. Now, can you use Roblon traces to make a PC board? Well, certainly you can, but you'd probably want some that are a little less than 15 years old.
That's so good. That is so cool. Hey, there's a good question in the chat room. What kind of vice are you using to hold your PC board? You want to tell them about that wonderful tool we all own or should own?
Yeah, that's a Panavice, and they come in a lot of different varieties. You can get different attachments for them, some that have wider jaws for holding PC boards, and it's a great tool to have, one you really need if you're going to do a lot of this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's your third hand, right?
Exactly.
Wow, yeah. That is terrific. Hey, George, what wattage did you have your little soldering iron on? And is that an adjustable one, or you get what you got?
Well, I use a soldering station, and I had it on 4. Now, how many watts that is, I don't know. Probably 15 or 20 watts, so I'm guessing.
That's great. All right. Well, thanks. That was wonderful. Sound effects as well.
As usual, it's great. Great stuff. Before we get out of here, I got a couple of really cool pictures of Show Me Your Shack. You know, you guys and gals need to send us your pictures so we can share them with everybody. And Alex, bring up that number one. Since it's Youth Month.
Oh, I love it.
I thought we'd show this. Somebody sent that to us. Is that just the cutest thing ever?
That is great.
The baby's probably a year old or maybe less and got on these great big headphones. Isn't that darling?
That is great. Just super.
And it, Ron sent us a picture. If any of you ever get to Newington, Connecticut, that's in the Hartford area, stop by the ARRL, and you, if you have your license with you, can work at an incredible W1AW. And there's old Ron at the helm. I wanted to show everybody how that station looked. We've seen it a couple of times here, but that's Ron, AA2RR, a working W1AW. And you too could be in that picture. All you got to do is take your license with you and you'll be there. Joe will help you. Joe is the station manager. And the next picture, number three, is K1LLR. What a nice station. Really nice and laid out good, so I'm sure he has a lot of fun with that. And Herb W3TM, show you what Herb's done. And this is just great stuff. It doesn't have to be magnificent, wild walls full of stuff. And he's worked lots of contacts and countries with that station. And last but not least tonight is K2TXG. Look at this nice station. And it, again, it doesn't have to be crazy walls of stuff, just things that work. And guess what that is, Gordo? You know what kind of transmitter that is?
Looks like a Heathkit, huh?
It is. It's a Heathkit and the power supply speakers below. Good old Heathkit, and they're coming back, so we're going to have kits that we can build. Some of the things that really drove me into this hobby is building all that wonderful Heathkit. So we've had a really good night here. I'm so thrilled that we could bring Mitchell, Rachel, and Arthur on with good old Dave and Don. What a magnificent thing they're doing. So, as I said, I'm off to Starkville, Peoria, and then up into Michigan. We're going to do three ham radio meetings at the end of the week here. So any of you guys have a nice club and you want to have some programming, oh, let us know, because we'll come and do them. Of course, you got to have Skype, and that's how we do it all. Fun stuff. Gordo, I want to say 73. Thanks for all you and Susie and Julian do there. We really appreciate your help. And as usual, we've had a lot of fun here tonight and look forward to next week.
Well, thank you, Bob. And we're going to be working with Mike, Net Control, W Tango 6 Hotel, as well as Bill, K5LN, Bill on 20 meters, Mike on 40 meters. Julian in 3JF says he'll meet you on the airwaves as well. So 73 from Southern California, where luckily we missed the incoming.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. And George, good night to you. Thanks for your smoke and thanks for your solder. And we'll be looking for you next week. And George and I hook up on 75 meters a lot through the week. So we'll catch you there also, George.
Okay, Bob, Gordo, good night. Good to see everyone tonight. And I'll catch everyone on the Echo, not Echo Link, on the D-Star QSO party this weekend as well.
All right. All right. Well, I'm going to close out with a little music behind. I've had a lot of requests from people. Like, what is that music that opens Ham Nation? The people watching us live never get to hear this. That is WB6 ACU, the one, the only Joe Walsh, who wrote and plays that theme song every week. And you hear it on the replays, but sometimes you don't get to enjoy it here on Ham Nation Live. So I thought we'll bring Joe in with a little bit of music as we leave you from good old Illinois. And we'll see you. I'll be on 17 meters a lot this weekend with my dipoles. We're having fun. Bye-bye for now. 7-3, everybody. This is K9 EID.